Hello, welcome to another episode of Guns and Yellow Ribbons. This is a preview show, the preview show of game week 28. We're going to look at the Premier League fixtures for the weekend with a little bit of an Arsenal tinge. We will focus on three games in particular, all about the top four. It's Liverpool, Man City, Aston Villa, Spurs, and of course, the mighty Arsenal and Brentford. I'm joined today by Gunnar Hilsey, Danish Gunnar, and our good friend Lyle. Enjoy the show.
Get ready for the world's greatest Arsenal podcast. Welcome to another podcast by Guns and Yellow Ribbons. Enjoy the show.
Hello, lads. How are you? I'm full of bloody cold. I caught this cold on a plane back from Porto, I think, and it's been 10 days and it hasn't gone. Alex, we got you back on again, which is really good to see that. That's twice in a week. That's some commitment from you.
Yeah, it was nice to join the show. We spoke a couple of minutes before we went live, and it's always nice to hear you're being appreciated. So, thank you for the kind words, Ferg and Trev.
You're welcome, mate. We'll save the kind of words for Lyle. Lyle, very positive feedback from yourself and your contribution on our last podcast that you're on, which I think, was that a preview one as well, or was that...
It might have been both, actually. It was just before Liverpool. I gave my Churchillian speech. We went out and we got the job done.
No worries. Have you got a camera on the side of you? A different camera angle then?
Oh, yeah. I've got all sorts of, I don't know how to work the technology. There's one laptop there. There's one screen here. I'm trying to make sure I've got you, your boy's lovely face up on the big screen.
Okay. Trevor, that's two screens. You wouldn't manage that.
Mate, I've got three screens, but two of them have to say blanks. I don't know how to have them all on at the same time. I'll tell you what, Lyle, that flag's done behind you's done some miles now, son, and it's been overland and sea properly. Yeah, listen, I'm really looking forward to this weekend's football. It's such an important weekend, I think, as they all are really in the Premier League. But you know, we've got Man City, Liverpool, something's got to give there. We've got Aston Villa, Tottenham. Aston Villa are going to absolutely smash Tottenham off the park, and then we've got the big one. We've got Arsenal v Brentford, and we can go top of the league. And I know it's because we play first, we can go top of the league, but being top of the league is an important statement. It's the best place to be. So I'm hoping that come Saturday night, we're top of the league. And then come Sunday, the worst we can be is second. We could even still be top if results go our way. So very important weekend. Looking forward to it very much, mate.
Yeah, Liverpool on 63 points, City on 62 and Arsenal on 61. But the key thing, and I think it will be a key factor, which we'll talk about, is the goal difference. Arsenal have clawed back that goal difference in this 2024. And we're on 45 versus Liverpool's 39 and Man City's 35. And if you look down the league, it's only Spurs and Villa that have got positive goal difference, and the majority are in negative below that, with the exception of Newcastle. So we're doing really, really well, and we don't need a striker. One of the facts that I did see was this here. Arsenal's February, we're now into March, we had the most goals in 18 goals with the highest XG in 12.31 expected goals, the fewest goals conceded in two, the fewest shots conceded in 26, the fewest shots on target conceded in four, and the only team to have a 100% record in February. Alex, that I know we're going to look at the other games, but just looking at that, February, wow, 12.31 expected goals.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it a lot, but that little break in Dubai did the boys good. And Mikel Arteta must have worked some wonders down there. I think they needed it, a lot of the players, especially. I mean, we spoke about it earlier, but some of them did look a bit tired towards the end of the year. And that played a part in us losing points against the likes of Fulham and West Ham at home. So it was a much needed break, and we've looked a completely different team after the break, and we're just free scoring, and we've seemed to dim down a bit on the mistakes at the back. So yeah, we're just playing like really controlled and just rolling over teams at the moment. So yeah, let's hope we can keep it coming. We've got some big fixtures coming up. Every fixture is important right now, but yeah, especially this week seems important with Brentford and the possibility of us going top, and then Porto next week. So yeah, massive.
It's a huge week for us. And remember, next weekend, Liverpool, Man City and Arsenal don't play in the Premier League because Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool are in the FA Cup. So our games are Premier League. So whoever goes top on Monday night stays top for 2 weeks. Let's talk about this game. First of all, we're going to talk about Klopp versus Pep. It's Liverpool versus Man City. Liverpool sit top of the table. Man City are only 1 point behind, and they're attempting to win the first team to win four consecutive Premier League titles. That's not going to happen because the team in North London are going to do that. This, if you're looking for non-bias football preview, you need to find a different channel, because you can see we are Arsenal. It is going to have a huge Arsenal bias. Since the first Premier League, both these teams have met 53 times, and you know what? They've got a matching record. They've both won this game 20 times and drawing 13. Lyle, what's your expectations? Huge game. It's Sunday afternoon. It's just taken up, I think, for us all. Hopefully, Villa sort out, which we'll talk about after we sort out Spurs, and then let's talk about this game. What are you expecting from this game?
Look, Fergus, I think this is a massive, massive, massive game. This is two titans coming together. You know, the immovable object meets the unstoppable force. This is huge, especially at Anfield. And I think this is the bit that we really need to stress the points on. You know, Man City, despite the fact that they've been the all-dominating, all-conquering side for the last five, six, seven, however many years that Pep Guardiola has been in charge, they've only won at Anfield once in eight attempts. They've had two draws and five losses. So I think this is going to be an absolute belter of a game. You know, let's see if the Liverpool fans can live up to their hashtag with the famous atmosphere at Anfield, or is it the library? See. But it's going to be, you know, this is box office. This is why we love the Premier League. We love the theatre. We love the colour. We love the noise. Huge game.
Trevor, this game is a huge game. It could be deciding who's going to win the league, because I think if Liverpool do win this game, that it doesn't put it totally out of Arsenal and City's hands, but it does put the control in Liverpool's hands at this stage. Do you think?
Yeah. Do you know what? I have to agree with what Lyle says. It's I wanted Arsenal to be 20 points clear, obviously, but it's so exciting. It twists and turns. And regardless of what happens in the Liverpool City game, I'd love them to draw. Obviously, I think that's the best result for us. I think there's still twists and turns to come. There'll be 10 games to play in the season. There will still be twists and turns to come. There will still be shock results. It's going to go right till the end. I'm sure it's going to go right till the end. The last weekend, and let's just hope our great club are up there and nick it, because we really are in it. You know, I've looked at a bit of stuff today that's saying three fantastic teams are fighting out for the title. It's all the big stars on Sky Sports are saying how much they're loving it. They're making us third favourites to win it, and maybe rightfully so, given Liverpool and Man City pedigree. But let me tell you, we are right in it. All we've got to do is, if we keep our form, we don't have to get better, I don't think. If Arsenal keep their form, Fergus, we're away. We are honestly away, mate. But there's loads of twists and turns to go yet.
Alex, Liverpool have a lot of injuries. They're going to be without Thiago, Trent Arnold, Alisson, Jota, Matip, Nunes, Salah. They're all on the treatment table. Man City have had their issues with some injuries. They rested some players last night and beat your resident city, Copenhagen, 6-2 in aggregate. in the Champions League to progress there. So what's your thoughts on this game, and where do you see where do you see the key threats coming from both sides?
Well, I think you're right in saying they've dealt with a few injuries, Liverpool, but they do have a few players coming back as well. Nunes is back and ready, and he's playing tonight. They're playing against Prague right now. Salah's on the bench, so he's probably going to be starting, I can imagine, in the weekend. That would be a huge boost for them. I mean, they've still got their solid players, Van Dijk at the back. So, and I mean, even though they've had all these injuries, they've done really well. I mean, they won the cup final, and they haven't really lost any points as of lately. They might have scraped through the game's last minute winner, which was a bit gutting last weekend from Nunes. But they've gained a fair bit of momentum as well. So I think it's going to be a tricky game for Manchester City. And I know we like to mock the Anfield atmosphere every now and then, but I reckon it's going to be loud in there on Sunday. So I think it's tough to predict, because these big games, they have this sort of, you can never predict how they play out. And there's so many factors that we don't know yet. But I mean, City, as you said, they rested a few players, and they are right now, as they always are, full flowing during when we come into these deciding months towards the end of the season. They always seem to struggle a bit, and then they find form towards the end of the season, and they have right now. So, I mean, it's going to be big, and momentum can shift, as Hilsey said. I mean, we can go top, and we can stay there for a couple of weeks at least. So, I mean, we're all hoping for a draw, but a question to you boys, if you had to decide a winner in this, would you rather have Liverpool to win or City to win?
I'll go on first on that one. I think it to keep us in the race, and we still have to play City, I would say if one side was to win, I would say City to win over Liverpool, but a draw for sure.
Yeah, listen,
While I'm saying that, we've got great viewing figures at the minute, one of our highest viewing figures. A lot of you are on Twitter. If you like what we do, carry on watching. And if you really like it, jump over to YouTube and just click on the subscribe button. Let's carry on. Trevor, who would you rather win if you had to pick a winner?
Well, there's only one answer you can give to that question. Obviously, as we just said, we want a draw. But if City win, then winning the league title is in Arsenal's own hands. So you've got to favour a City win. And hopefully then next week or the week after, we can go up there and take it into our own hands. I just can't get across how exciting this is. And this weekend is so important. City to win this weekend if we have to choose a winner. Arsenal to win at City. It's a possibility. It can happen. We're good enough.
Lyle, I know we're biased.
there's 2 points I just want to go in on before my prediction. So I think the first is Arsenal's historically always done our best work as the underdog. We love it when people write us off, and we always prove people wrong. It's what we did in 98. We done that in 2002 as well. Again, 03, 04, Wenger said, you know, we'd go and do it, you know, unbeaten, whatever. People said you're talking nonsense. So we always do our best work as the underdog. I think Trev is absolutely right. You know, this is so exciting. And I think, you know, God bless all you Arsenal fans out there. You know, you've done the miles over the years. You've supported our team through thick and thin, right? Me and Trev had a really nice moment on Monday after the game, you know, over a drink, where we said, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, me and him, we were going up and down the country. We were seeing us, you know, get batted up north, this, that, the other. This is where you want to be, right? There's no God-given right to win anything in football, but all you want to see your team do is compete and giving it 100%. And to be here, it just warms the heart. And I think, you know, I won't start crying, because obviously you don't need that. Your viewer count will start going down. But, you know, this is where we want to be. These are the arenas you want to be in. So fantastic for the Arsenal. I think in terms of, you know, who we want to win, I think if Man City win, in my opinion, same as you, Fergus, it will knock Liverpool out of the title race. And the reason I think it knocks them out of the race is they've got the Thursday night European competition. They're still in the FA Cup. I don't think they've got the squads, frankly, to go in all of those competitions. I think I look at the injuries they've got. I look at the fact that, no disrespect to them, they're getting over the line against the likes of the Nottingham Forests, the Lutons, the Burnleys and Bournemouth, who they've played recently. But when they've come up against the sterner tests, the likes of us, they've just looked, you know, second best. So I think Man City win for me personally. If Liverpool were to get a draw, it would be a great result for them.
Okay. The score prediction then, Lyle?
Ooh, I'm going to go Man City 3-1.
3-1, okay. Trevor, your score prediction for this game?
Well, do you know what, Fergus? I'm going to go with my heart rather than my head. I'm honestly going to go with my heart. I'm going to go for what I want to see. I want to see a 2-2. So I'm going to go 2-2 and hope it pans out that way.
Mm. Alex, give us your prediction. And then I'd also like to hear what your opinion on Hente says about the Klopp effect leaving the club. Will that have a big impact?
Yeah. First of all, prediction. I think Liverpool can pull one out of the bag. We saw how they drew away from home at City's ground this season. And I think with Anfield, I think they can pull out a result with Salah being back as well. I'll go with a boring 1-1 as well. I'd love a boring 1-1. I think all Arsenal fans would love to see a draw. And I think it's possible. 1-1. And then in regards to...
Go on, 2-2,
yeah.
I'm going 2-2.
Question. Klopp effect leaving at the end of the season. I don't know how much you can put into it. Of course, it might motivate some of the players more to sort of make him leave on a good note. But I can't really see how much an effect it can have on the title race. I mean, it's not everything's not in their hands as well. So I don't know what you guys think about the Klopp leaving effect.
I think it's having more an influence on the media.
I think
the media then has an influence on maybe referees, VAR, and I do think the media do have if they come along and go like such and such a player is a cheater and this one, all of a sudden the referee seems to get out more cards and so on. You know, I'm not naming anything specific, but I do find that the media, they go on about, like, you know, at the moment we're the flavour of the month, that Arsenal are, like, you know, on a title challenge, which I believe we are. But you go back 2-3 weeks ago, they were talking about Spurs are going to push on and Villa are going to be in Champions League.
It'll be the perfect story for them, wouldn't it? And there'll be 1,000 books and films written about it. Klopp's final season, the final dance, like they did with the NBA, Michael Jordan. It'll be the perfect story for the media, but I'm not sure how much an effect it'll actually have on them.
Before we do the Sunday lunchtime kickoff, the Villa Spurs one, let's look at the other games that are happening this weekend, and then we look at the Arsenal game finally. So the first lot of games that we've got on there, let's get rid of that banner off there. So the first lot of games that we've got is Man United, Everton. Everton have not won at Old Trafford since 2013. Trevor, what's your thoughts? One line on what your thoughts this game is going to be like, and give us an idea of a score prediction.
Well, it's a funny game, isn't it? Because there's two sides there that both wilt a bit under pressure this season. They've got a good performance in them, but they don't show it every week. I think that Everton might just be up for it. The Man United's recent results haven't given me any confidence in them. I think that the way they play, I think their attitude is poor. I think Rashford scored a wonder goal, but apart from that, he had an awful game last week. And I think Everton are still battling for their lives. So I've got this down as a draw, Fergus. I've got it down. I'll fancy a 2-2 draw, Man United-Everton.
2-2. Lyle, what's your thoughts on Man United versus Everton? I know what my thoughts on Man United are, period. You know.
Yes, and long may it continue. Long may it continue. look, my honest opinion is I can't see Everton going there and getting a result. I think if Man United fail to get the 3 points, Ten Hag, he's already under pressure. He's going to be under serious, serious scrutiny. I think Man United probably will rally and get the 3 points here. Like I said, Everton haven't got a good record here. But if they were to do, if Everton did the unthinkable and lose this one, could you imagine that Monday night? So Monday morning, Monday night, whatever, you know, Talk Sport, all the football shows, you know, the knives will well and truly be out for Ten Hag. So this is a must-win game for Man United, Fergus. I mean, failure to win this means they're, they're not in a good place. So, yeah, I think they'll win it. 2-1. 2-1, I think they'll win it. Scrape through.
2-1, big old, to United.
Yep.
Yeah. Alex, Ten Hag, is this his final throw of the dice? If he loses this, international break comes up the following week. Oh, no, there's football, but I don't know if they're playing or not in the FA Cup. But, you know, you would have thought that it's got to be close to the end for him if he doesn't win this game.
I think actually, regardless of what he does for the rest of the season, I think he's going to be going during the summer with Ineos coming in and taking over. I think they're going to be looking elsewhere. And there's a big pool of good managers available for the summer as well. I think they want a new direction with the club after they've come in. And it's a normal thing when you see new owners come into a new club, when they buy a new club, they sort of change the direction. I think he's going to be gone in the summer. And I think they're going to have a tough time against Everton. They're still missing Rasmus Højlund through injury. And they've had trouble scoring ever since he got injured a couple of weeks ago. So, I mean, Rashford scored an unbelievable goal against Manchester City. But it seems like right now it's going to take one of those X-factor moments from Rashford or Bruno for them to score. So, my prediction is going to be a 1-1.
1-1. I'm going simply because my brothers are Man United fans and I got my nephew who's a Man United fan. We've got that little WhatsApp group that we've got. I'm going for a very wishful Sean Dyche win. I'm going 2-1.
Yes. Do you know what though, boys? I don't care what happens at Man United this season. I want us to go up there and just win. Doesn't matter by hook or by crook. I'd love us to win. I'd love us to empty that stadium, empty that ground at 35, 40 minutes. So long may it continue, but we've got to go up there this year and just give them an absolute hiding. Otherwise, I think I'm going to have to throw myself in the river up there, boys.
Lyle, our lads team empty stadiums everywhere they go, and our ladies team fill stadiums everywhere they go. There we go.
You know what? It's a really important point Lyle makes there, because the last few seasons we've not had great results at Man United, but we have actually played really well at Man United and not got the rub of the green, in my view. We are due to go to Man United and absolutely slaughter them. And let's hope it's this season. I really want it to be this season badly. Win the league at Man United again. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, could you imagine a Guard of Honour? That would be perfect. Win it at White Hart Lane and a Guard of Honour at Old Trafford. That would be absolutely perfect. I think it's going to be difficult because of rescheduled games with Chelsea and possibly Wolves as well. The next game is probably going to be a really difficult game again for Sheffield United, the way to Bournemouth. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. 11 points from safety. A loss, Alex, makes probably relegation very, very imminent for them. A win for the Cherry sees them 34 points and probably safe, you would have thought.
Yeah, I agree. I think we also saw how bad of a team Sheffield are when we played them. They're really, really struggling, and Chris Wilder doesn't seem to have the same impetus on the team like he had when they came up a couple of years ago, when they were actually a really, really good team. And I think they finished 10th before they went down the season after. So they're definitely going down, and I think the Cherries would be safe with a win. And I think they've got Luton in the next game as well, so 6 points in those two games, and they'll definitely be safe. And they're playing some good football this season as well. Solanke is having a good season, so I fancy a Bournemouth win winning that game.
Lyle, we're running really behind a little bit at the minute. Give us a very brief thought on this game and your prediction. Sorry, Alex, what was your prediction on this one?
2-0 Bournemouth.
2-0. Okay, go on.
I'm gonna back Alex 2-0 Bournemouth, and I'll just say a quick shout out to their manager. I think he's been fantastic, and he's probably one of the driving forces for why they'll stay up. So 2-0 Bournemouth.
Now I'm gonna go 3-0 for Bournemouth. And Trevor, what's your thoughts on this one?
Very briefly, I think Bournemouth will have watched Sheffield United's performance on Monday, and they'll be thinking they've only got to turn up 3 points in the bag. And I can't see anything else happening. I'm sure Bournemouth should beat Sheffield United. I'm going for 3-0 Bournemouth, mate.
3-0 as well, right. Okay, the next game that we're looking at is Crystal Palace versus Luton. Luton are on 20 points, 4 points from probably safety. Forest, with a game in hand, are on 24 points. This is a big six-pointer, Trev, for both Luton and Forest. And they're teams that go hot and cold and going...
hang on a minute. Sorry, not, for Luton and Forest? Sorry, have you got the wrong picture list up?
No, you know what? It's Palace and Luton. Listen, anybody who hasn't watched us before, this is normal. I always make mistakes. So just get used to it. It's the charm of a natural podcast. It's like, yeah. So it's Palace versus Luton. Sorry. So Palace on... I know why I've done that. Alex, it's your fault. Read your notes.
What it is, Luton are on 20 points, right? So they're 4 points off safety. So Forest's on 24 points. So Forest are on 17 points, right? So Forest are on 24 points. Luton are on 20 points. So they're 4 points off safety. So this is massive for Luton. Luton, they need to start picking some points up if they want to stay in the division. If Forest can, you know, keep momentum up, pick points up here, pick a win up here, Luton will be in a little bit of trouble. So if they want to stay in the league, they need to sort of keep momentum going. Luckily, they've got a game in hand, right? So Luton's got the game in hand. So for them, realistically, if they can get a draw out of this one at Palace, that would be good. Then if they win the game in hand, they'll be equal with Forest. So this is a massive game in the hunt to stay up.
Prediction, Lyle?
Palace seem to be all over the shop at the moment, to be honest with you. I mean, God bless Roy Hodgson. He's having some health issues, and our thoughts and well wishes go with him. Honestly, I think this could be a draw, truth be told. So I might just go a 1-1 draw.
1-1.
They've had their new manager, though, Palace. They've had their new manager come in.
And he's had two results, hasn't he?
They won 3-0 in the first game against Burnley, and then they lost against Tottenham.
3-1, Yeah.
Went 1-0 up, didn't they, as well?
Again, they did,
With a great goal. What's your prediction then, Alex, on this one?
I hope Luton will win. I like Luton. They're fun to watch this season, especially with Lokonga doing well. But I think Palace have got some players that are capable of winning the game for them, especially Abrechi Eze, a brilliant player. I think they'll win 2-1 Palace.
2-1 Palace. Trevor, what's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, no, I'm going to go the other way. Like Lyle, I think the Palace have a shot recently. They're a shadow of what they were earlier in the season. Luton have got a performance in, and we know that. I think Luton will nick a win 2-1 at Palace, to be honest.
2-1 at Palace. So you're going to 1-2. I've gone for a draw. I've gone for a Desmond at 2-2 on this one. The next game is a 3 p.m. kickoff. It's the Wolves versus Fulham game. Wolves need to win to get any chance of European football. They're currently 4 points behind West Ham, who are in seventh. Although, depending on how the cups go, it could drop down to eighth anyhow. And if we get that fifth spot in the Champions League, it probably could drop down to ninth. Half the Premier League could be in Europe. Alex, thoughts on Wolves versus Fulham? Wolves are quite potent if they turn it on.
Yeah, and it might be my game to watch, 3 o'clock kickoff. Both have been playing really good football the last couple of games. They've won 3 out of 4 games. Both teams, Fulham winning against United, of course, recently. So I think it's going to be a tight match. Hopefully a couple of goals from each. I reckon it will be a 2-2 draw.
Ooh, I put myself on mute. Lyle, your thoughts on this one then?
Yeah, I think it's got a draw written all over it. Don't think Wolves have got enough this year to get European football. Fulham get a result here and there. I'm not even going to mention the game against us away. The less said about that, the better. I think this will be a 1-1 draw.
a 1-1 draw. And Trevor, your thoughts on this one?
No, I go the other way. I think that Wolves have got some really good results in them this season. They've gone to places and won games that you wouldn't have expected them to win. They can look really good at times, and I think they'll have too much for Fulham on Saturday. Fergus, I'm going to go for Wolves to win it 2-0, mate.
2-0 Wolves. I've gone actually similar to yourself. I think Wolves are really, really strong, although Fulham have looked good of late. I've gone 3-2 Wolves. Neves is on fire as well, so I'm just thinking that they may well have it. If we now look at the let's look at the other two games first of all. So, there's three games. We'll touch on them first, then we'll do the Aston Villa and the Arsenal game. So if we look at on Sunday, 2 o'clock, there's two games. There's Brighton versus Nottingham Forest, and there's West Ham versus Burnley. If we look at Brighton versus Nottingham Forest, it's in the unlikely event that Forest win, we'll see them potentially go 7 points clear of relegation zone. And if Luton fail to win and get anything at Palace, Lyle, it could be a huge game for Forest if they can get some points. I know they've got all that points deduction stuff hanging over their heads and everything.
Yeah, I think Forest between now and, look, let's be honest to you, it's a scandal what's going on at the moment. It's almost like, you know, Robin Hood-esque stuff from the Premier League, which is rob from the poor and give to the rich in the terms of the way that they're doing everything. But I think Nottingham Forest need all the points that they can get between now and the end of the season. I'd love them to stay up. It's a great little away day, that, especially in the sun, as we know, last season when we went up there wasn't the result we wanted. Yeah, I mean, you know, It was tits, tats, beers. It was that table. Oh, my God.
Tits, tats, and beers.
And that's just Trevor. Tits, tats, and Trev.
Unbelievable. You see, we are just drifted off of these forecasts for a second. It's wonderful that we get together like this and we have these trips. Monday was another one at Sheffield, wasn't it? We had such a laugh, you know. Great company, great people. I mean,
2 a.m. finish.
Still suffering now, 4 days later. It's we have great trips, and long may they continue. And
we empty stadiums and hotel bars.
And Ubers.
And Ubers.
And Ubers.
But do you know what? Yeah. Go back to Brighton v Forest. Brighton are being absolutely battered tonight by Roma. They're 4-0 down tonight. And I think Brighton are a better side than that. And I think Brighton are going to turn Forest over when Forest go down to Brighton at the weekend. I think Brighton are going to win comfortably. I think they're going to win about 3-0. I honestly do, Ferg.
Okay.
Oh, hang on, boys. Can you stop all the laughter now, please?
Stop it.
Can you stop all the celebrating now? The celebration police are in the house.
It's the police. Woo, woo. It's the
cameras off. Cameras off. Hide your faces, boys. Hide your faces.
Don't let them see us. I don't know how to turn my camera off. He's got me.
You are nicked.
Tell you what, you lot, whether it's the celebration police or the song police, you lot are always on the run, you know. You are always on the run.
I tell you what, though, the celebration police of a parody sort of Twitter account is probably the funniest one going. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I've actually got a picture of Trevor getting nabbed by the celebration priest who've been all overzealous. But fortunately enough, I'm right by the side of that picture and I'm not in it. So I got away with it.
Just about.
Lyle, your prediction on the Brighton one, you didn't give us that one. Sorry,
Brighton will win it 2 or 3 nil, I think.
Go, stick for one.
I'll go 2-0 Brighton.
2-0. Alex, briefly on Brighton, prediction, and it's near your grandparents, so it's almost like a localish sort of one for.
It is, yeah. I'm hoping to go to the game. Don't know whether I'll be in the home end or the away end. We'll have to see about that. But just Trev mentioned the Brighton Rome game. First of all, good to see that the fan who got stabbed actually made it to the game. Yeah, two fans. Yeah, but one of the fans, Jack Albion, actually made it to the stadium and is in attendance tonight and watching the game. So good to see he's well. They've really struggled recently, Brighton. And Trev said they're trailing 4-0 right now as well. They haven't really had any results as of lately. I mean, they won against Sheffield, but everyone's winning against Sheffield. So they're really struggling at the moment, and they need a result to bounce back. And I think they're going to struggle against Forest as well, especially with them playing tonight. So I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
1-1 draw. I'm going to go for 2-0 to Brighton on that one. And the last one to cover Sunday's games before with the Arsenal game is West Ham Burnley one, and we won't mention them the N word here, as in KN, because that was mentioned enough the other night. Burnley 11 points off safety. Burnley with Sheffield United are probably doomed. A loss makes relegation imminent. West Ham 7 points, 42 points needed to stay in the hunt for European football. Lyle, I'll come to you second. I'll go to Alex actually first on this one. What's your thoughts, Alex, on West Ham versus Burnley, claret and blue versus claret and blue? Is it going to be London claret and blue or Northern claret and blue that gets the spoils?
To make it short, I think the London claret and blue. They've been in good form the last couple of games, one against Brentford and Everton away. They're playing European football tonight, so might be a bit of tired legs, but I still think it'll be enough to get 3 points over the line for West Ham. Burnley have been really, really poor this season. I'm going for a 3-1 West Ham win.
Okay, Lyle, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, West Ham win this. Can't see Burnley scoring either. I'm going to go West Ham 2-0, but I have no doubt it will be Moisey out. So yeah, West Ham 2-0. Be careful what you wish for, West Ham fans. You weren't too long ago in the Championship.
That's very, very true. And people should take note of that as well when they start talking about things about Arteta only a few months back. So, Trevor, your thoughts on this game. Will my friend, the assistant manager at West Ham, will he be victorious?
Can you do... Demsek sent a question in. We had
who's
a few pages with Demsek on Monday
who's
night.
Who's KN?
First time I've met him, great lad. We had a great evening. He wants to know who's KN. Shall I just let him sweat a bit? Yeah. We won't say any more, folks, shall we?
Yeah, just leave it. Just move on.
I'll private message you, Kev. I'll private message you. Anyway, going back to West Ham Burnley, yeah, I'm with the boys. I think West Ham will beat Burnley, but I don't think it'll be by a big score. I think West Ham are not going to score a lot of goals. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to West Ham, I am, folks.
Okay, 1-0 to West Ham. I'm going for 3-0 to West Ham and Kevin buying the beers. That's never going to happen. He'll never buy a beer. So Chelsea, Newcastle on Monday night. Chelsea 11th place, 36 points. On 36 points, 6 points off West Ham and seventh place, 142. They currently occupy the last European space. If Newcastle win, it'll open up a 9-point gap for the European place, meaning it's a tough ask for Chelsea to get European football next season. They could have a huge fine. There could even be this talk of relegations and all sorts. You know, £1 billion Bowley blunder, is that what it was?
Bottle jobs,
yeah. Trevor, what's your thoughts on this one and the prediction?
Yeah, I think that sometimes Neville goes a bit over the top, you know, with his comments, and he needs to reel it in a little bit. I didn't like that comment, but he is right, I suppose. I think that Chelsea and Newcastle are two half-decent sides. Chelsea are getting a little bit better. Pochettino seems to be getting a play a little bit better. Newcastle are coming back from all them injuries. I think it'll be a draw, Ferg. I'm going for a 2-2.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going for 2-2. I just wrote it down there, 2-2. I think Poch is doing okay. I think Newcastle, they're conceding, okay, maybe not after Monday night, but they were conceded more goals since Pope went out injured. And they got that keeper in at the moment. So I think Chelsea aren't good enough to beat Newcastle, and Newcastle are too leaky. So I think they'll concede some goals as well. So I'm going 2-2. What's your thoughts, Alex, on this one?
Yeah, two teams with a lot of money and not doing very well this season. That's my thought on those two teams. they're both struggling at the moment. Newcastle down in eighth, and Chelsea down in 11th place. I mean, it's crazy to see with the amount of money they spent. And when you look at the team, you think it's quite an average team with the amount of money they've spent. You look at the sorts of Cole Palmer, who's been a standout for them this season. He's a good player. But other than that, I mean, and they've been unlucky with Nkunku because he's looked a good player, but he's been injured for the most of the season. But yeah, they've struggled, and I think they're going to struggle against Newcastle. I think it's going to be a draw as well. I'm going for 1-1.
1-1. Lyle, you've got a couple of minutes because I need to turn my camera off for a second.
No worries. No, look, I think I agree.
Enough leaky.
Yeah, leaky defence, eh? I agree with both Ferg and Trev. I think it's going to be a 2-2 draw. I think there's goals in it. I think both teams will go at it. But I must admit, there's two things that have really warmed my heart this season away from the Arsenal. One is seeing just the calamity that's occurring at Old Trafford with the place falling down. And the second's been at Chelsea because their fans have been absolutely insufferable for a very long time. And I think they're going to go back to the small bus stop in Fulham that they used to be, next year and the year after. So, I think, 2-2 draw here. And then I think Chelsea are going to just drop off the cliff. I think the end is nigh for them. And, couldn't happen to a nicer football club.
I think It's probably been proven this year that money can't buy your quality and money can't buy your class in the long run, It's coming back to haunt them. And
Trevor, we have that banner over the North Bank class as permanent.
Yeah.
You cannot buy that.
It's interesting as well because, I mean, I don't want to, labour the point, but it's apparent that a lot of these football club owners who are just trying to trade short-term, think short-term, pump lots of money in, it's sort of proven that it doesn't really work. You need to have some kind of medium to longer term plan, whether that's backing a manager of a style of play, whether it's getting a certain type of players in, young group and sort of developing them upwards, or, whether it's sort of buying in one or two or three top quality sort of, world-class players. And I think both Chelsea and Man United have shown this season that if you haven't got the right direction at the top, you're not going to back your manager. You can have all the money in the world. It's frankly a complete and utter waste of time, and long may it continue for those two clubs, because frankly, I can't fucking stand them. Pardon my French.
Well said, Lyle. Well said.
We're fluent here. We're fluent here, especially when it comes to those clubs. Listen, the last two games to cover over the weekend is the battle for fourth and Champions League football, probably. It's between Aston Villa. Unai Emery is going to give Postecoglou a bloody nose, I hope. We're looking at a game where Richarlison is expected to be sidelined till the end of the month. Werner could have a little bit of a run because they're playing Villa, then they're playing Fulham and Luton. So he could profit and grow into that role that he's in there. They've played 57 games against each other, and Villa have won 18 versus Spurs 24. Villa have won 10 at home, and Spurs have won 14 away. Villa is slightly better form currently. They've won four, only lost one. Where if we look at the same with Spurs, they've won three, drawn one, and lost one. Spurs are 5 points off Villa, but have a game in hand against Chelsea at home. So if they want to remain in the Champions League title race, the Champions League race, they need to get a result at Villa Park, don't they, Trevor? And we know how difficult that is. Arsenal weren't that bad. We were probably the better team at Villa Park in the day, and we lost 1-0.
Well, look, Fergus, I was a little bit upset at the start of the show when you said that we were Arsenal biased. I think that we can hold it together a bit and be sensible, as we have already been with our predictions. I think I've not checked this, but from memory, Unai Emery's got a very good record against Tottenham. He likes to beat Tottenham, does Unai Emery. And I love the man, and I'm sure that Unai won't let us down at the week on Sunday. I think the Villa at home will be too strong. Without any biasness, I think Villa at home will be too strong for Tottenham. They play a quick game. The lad up front's on fire. What's his name? The lad up front is absolutely
Watkins.
Watkins. Looks quality. He's firing on all cylinders. I'm thinking he's going to be too good for the Tottenham defence, which can be dodgy. I can only see a Villa win. And putting all biasness aside, I'm going to go for a 16-0 to Villa, mate.
Lyle, in all seriousness, though, Postecoglou's style of football could lead to a stupid scoreline like that because they are, you know, they've got, I think, the weakest defence, conceding more goals than the scoring in the league. They are not their weakest defence, but they're just suicidal in the way they play football.
Yeah, I mean, especially away from home, I think they've shipped in 20 goals in 12 games, which is just suicide. I mean, you know, the 101 of going away from home is first and foremost, you know, don't try and not concede, sharp shop, you get a draw. And then if you can, you know, nick a win or whatever, 3 points is a bonus, right? So his style of play is very much, you know, you score three, we score four, you know, the Kevin Keegan style. Look, I'm not going to quite go Trev's rugby score, 16-0. but look, Villa's got a really strong record at home. They did us. They've done Man City. If the whole 10 gets going, the place will get rocking. I can't see Tottenham turning them over. Will be goals in this game. I think Villa will probably do them 2-1.
2-1. Sorry, I forgot to note these down. So I've gone that. Okay.
Trev, so 16-0. So for all of you people out there, right, look, we just need to caveat this. Number one, please do not put your life savings on a 16-0 victory.
But number two,
if you do put your life savings on a 16-0 victory, look, just message Trev and he'll send you his bank details, his sort code and his account number, and you can just flick him a little bit of cash for that tip-off, all right?
Remember, this is our third preview show. We've only started doing this halfway through the season, or near two-thirds through the season. And in the very first week, just ahead of the Burnley game, Trevor put an acca on four or five teams and won £815. So listen to the guru. You know, he is Mr. Paddy Power. I might be Paddy, but he's Paddy Power.
Wait, Fergal. I can't let that go. People, I'm going to have to try and be serious now. Yeah, the first week of the season, I had a lovely acca come in on the predictions I gave on this show, but I didn't include the Tottenham score in that acca to put a bit of context to it. So, take my Tottenham score with a little bit of a,
Okay. Alex, your thoughts on this game? You're looking at Tottenham, who are 5 points behind Villa with a game in hand. Villa, if they win the game, you could count them out of the top four race, couldn't you? You know, they have a crazy run in with Newcastle, Man City, Arsenal, and Liverpool have Spurs. Half of them away from home as well.
Yeah, I think if Willow win this game, they're 8 points ahead of Tottenham. And with the games you just mentioned, they've got a crazy run in towards the end of the season. I think they'll struggle. I think Villa, the sort of style they play, it fits very well to how Tottenham plays. I think the best example of how Tottenham play was when we saw them against Chelsea and they went down to nine men and their defensive line was at the halfway line. And Postecoglou got asked after the game, like, what was your reasoning behind this? And he just said, it's just who we are, mate. So he's not very pragmatic.
Yeah,
mate. It's just who we are, mate. He's not going to change much. We know how they're going to play Tottenham. They're going to play with their high line. And I think the likes of Bailey and Watkins will absolutely feast off the high line. And I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think I'm just going to go with a crazy scoreline here. I think Villa will win, but I'm going to go 4-2.
4-2. I think Villa will win. I'm going 3-2, and for very much the same reasons. I think the high line that Postecoglou plays will cost them. I don't know what their lineup with defence is, but the defence is a little bit all over the place anyway. And I think Ollie Watkins and Bailey and Ramsey, I think, and even Ings, not Ings. What's the chunky fella
Ings
called? What's the chunky player? The older journeyman player.
Again. Do you mean
McGinn? Yeah, the Scottish guy. I think he might even have a go as well. So, yeah. Listen, the main event and what everybody's waiting for this weekend, they're not worried about Liverpool versus City. They're not worried about it. They're worried about
Oh, not that one. That's the wrong score. There, well,
we've already emptied that stadium, mate, as you can tell by the background.
the main one is at the Emirates, 5:30 on Saturday. It's Arsenal versus Brentford. Referee is Rob Jones. But the thing that sticks out more than anything else is Paul Tierney, who shouldn't, in my view, even be allowed near a TV screen to watch the game, never mind a VAR screen. He's in VAR. Arsenal can go top at a home win against Brentford on Saturday. And that at least one of the top, if Liverpool and Man City, we'll go top regardless if we win. But Liverpool and Man City, if they draw, we remain top. And we remain top, for, as I said at the very start of the podcast, till Easter. It's interesting to see how Jesus has played out more on the left when he got subbed off against Sheffield. Can you see that scenario more, Lyle?
Jesus, explain, son. Who was you meaning there when you said Jesus was playing on the left when he got subbed off? Because Jesus came on, he didn't go off.
Alex.
You
Alex,
mean Martinelli?
No, yeah. It was because... Jesus, when he got subbed on, he played more to the left. And I think with Kai Havertz doing so well, I was just wondering, could we see a scenario if Martinelli, if he doesn't get fit for Saturday, where Jesus plays the left-hand side with Havertz up top? And I think in the future as well, he's gonna be playing more on the wings as well, Jesus.
I think if we're going to send,
I think me and Trevor are in agreement on this one. I mean, if you're going to play anyone off the left-hand wing, it's going to be Trossard. Yeah, I mean, I think we need to put some respect on this lad's name. He reminds me so much of a guy I used to love growing up, and that was Sylvain Wiltord. Really underrated player. He can play off the left, play through the middle, do lots of different roles. I just don't think don't see Jesus displacing Trossard on that left-hand side for me. I think Jesus would have to play through the middle.
Is it like the it for Jesus in Arsenal for you then? Because I mean, he's not gonna be our starting number nine. Thinking into the next season as well. And if he's not gonna play ahead of the likes of Trossard, Saka, Martinelli, where do we see Jesus?
I'll give you a look. This is my honest opinion about Jesus. I mean, he's fantastic in home games. Yep, you know, he can lead the line. He's great. He's this, that, the other. The biggest problem with him is away from home, if I'm brutally honest with you, because he doesn't have the physicality. So he comes in short, which means that we struggle to really open up the play and get him behind. And then it's just too one-dimensional. You can't play a long ball. He hasn't got the outlet. So I think home games, he's fine. In Europe, he's brilliant because it's not as physical. But there's a reason Man City sold him. And look, I wouldn't be in a rush to see him out the door, but I just think you've got his horses for courses. So there's certain games where you just can't play. He ain't got the physicality. And Kai Havertz has been a revelation. He's 6'4". He offers us an outlet. You can play a long ball to him. He's opened up the space. For me, that is the reason why Saka and Martinelli and the rest of the team have started scoring, because Odegaard's gone back to his position in sort of behind the striker. He scored 15 goals in the league last season. He makes that Frank Lampard-like runs, the late runs into the box. Havertz allows him to do that with the space, opens up. I just can't see it, Alex. Sorry, with Jesus. So I wouldn't be in a rush to sell him, but he's got to know his role now.
I think it's a great addition to the squad, and it shows the betterment of our squad. Other people that are in our squad that would be available that played against Sheffield United was Partey. Raya won't be able to play because he's ineligible because his parent club is currently still, and I know it's a very funny setup, but he's technically on loan from Brentford. I don't see him going back there. Trevor, your thoughts on, without getting into the huge debate, but Ramsdale, when he played against Brentford, away to Brentford, the Brentford crowd got on them a little bit, made him a little bit nervous, made a couple of mistakes that, fortunately enough, didn't cost us, but could have been very costly. I can't see that at the Emirates. I can just see huge support for Aaron Ramsdale at the Emirates on Saturday.
Fergus, listen, mate, it's not even something I'm wanting to talk about. I have no issues at all with Aaron Ramsey. Aaron Ramsdale, listen to me. It hasn't even crossed my mind that Aaron Ramsdale is playing, because I know that he'll be fine and he'll be absolutely fine. It's not an issue. I'm more interested in the Havertz conversation because Havertz has put a completely different perspective on our game. He's given us a different outlook, right? He can do so much now. And as he's grown, his confidence has grown. He's getting better and better every week. Now, just imagine if he drops Havertz this week and puts Jesus in. Not only what he's going to do to the team, what it's going to do to Havertz on a personal level, yeah? It's going to set him right back. We never know what Arteta's going to do. He does have a strange decision in him, but I can't see Havertz not playing this weekend. And if Martinelli doesn't make it on the left, then Trossard has to come in. Jesus, fine player, great effort. But for me, he's too alike to what we've already got in up front, you know, Jesus. Maybe he's the one too many of that likeness. Big effort, run with a ball, can find space, but not an out-and-out goal scorer. Havertz changes that. And those people playing around him and Rice playing much further forward like he did on Monday makes us look a crack inside. You know, I can't see anything but Havertz starting the game at the weekend and scoring. I've got him down to score.
Can I just come in on the Havertz point really quickly? And I think we've got to really praise the Arsenal fans, right? Like, Havertz has come from the most toxic club you could probably, one of the most toxic clubs you'll get in England, in Chelsea, yeah? You know, manager goes every two seasons, one season, whatever. It's always a merry-go-round. Fans, this, that, the other, whatever. He's come to the Arsenal and we've just done what Arsenal do, which is show him and our players nothing but love, yeah? And I was at that Brentford away game when he scored the winner, yeah? Right near the end. And they pushed him towards the away fans and he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do because he's never been in an environment like this with the fans just giving him the outpouring of love and support, which the fans have done over the course of the season. Forget one or two dickheads on Twitter. They're morons. They're irrelevant. They don't represent our fan base. And I think what Trev said is so bang on. If we can continue to just get behind this lad, anything is possible. And I just think well done to all you Arsenal fans out there, whether it's in the stadium, online, giving this boy support, because that's what we're about. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
I totally agree. And listen, Kai Havertz, he's made 26 appearances for Arsenal. He's had 7 goals. His best in the league was 29 appearances and 8 goals for Chelsea in 2020-21. He's looked more comfortable in a red and white shirt than he's ever looked in an Arsenal shirt. And I think it's because of the chaos, several managers played out of position and everything else. Name dropping again, I spoke with Kevin Nolan at the weekend and he said... he complimented Arteta on the way he had got the best out of Kai Havertz and he said he has not seen him play as good a football in the UK as he has playing under Arsenal. A guy who did come from West Ham was Declan Rice. We've mentioned him already. He's already had 27 appearances for Arsenal. He scored 5 goals, his highest tally in his senior career. In contrast, he only scored 10 goals in the 204 games he played for Arsenal. This flies in the face of high-profile criticism from like the likes of Graham Souness, that he doesn't score enough goals. Alex, Declan Rice, he has just been an absolute revelation. So I had to do that.
he's been incredible. Like every now and then I'll step up and I'll think Declan Rice is playing for the Arsenal. And it's just like, wow, we've got one of the best players in the world at our football club right now. And he's staying there for 10 more years. And he's still a young player. And the way he's evolving and adapting to our tactics and playing as an 8, playing as a 6. And I mean, against Sheffield United, he almost played like a striker. Some of the runs he made in their box and the goal he scored was a striker's goal. So he's just getting better and better. And I think what Demsik said in the comments, where Havertz plays is down to how fit Jorginho is. And I think Jorginho has been complimenting Rice as well in the last couple of games. The way he controls the midfield, Jorginho, just allows Rice to push further up and not worry too much about what's behind him. And yeah, just the balls he plays Jorginho, it's worked really well in midfield. Those three, Jorginho, Rice and Odegaard, they've done really, really well. And just going back to the Jesus thing, I completely agree. The reason I asked the question was just purely because it was one of the first times we've seen Jesus play as a left winger. So I was thinking, could it be in Arteta's thoughts to play him long term there every now and then? Because, I mean, we are starting to have a quite a good team, and some of the players that are being left out at the moment are not getting too much game time. I know Zinchenko's injured, but he's going to have a tough time getting back into the team as well with the way Kivior's playing and with Timber getting back as well. So, I mean, there's going to be tough conversations to have with some of those players, and some of them we might have to let go as well. But yeah, that's, I guess we'll save that conversation for a later podcast. But yeah, Rice, he's fantastic.
Trev?
Yeah. Look, firstly, I've just got to pull Alex on one thing. We haven't got one of the best players in the world, Alex. We've got a few of the best players in the world, sir. We really are that good. Really are that good. I owe Rice a bit of an apology, really, because I've been praising his energy levels and the way he covers the ground most of the season. But I watched the game back and I see something different as well. He has got the energy levels, no doubt about that. But he's got like a sixth sense, you know. He reads the play so well and he just moves into the position the ball's going to go to about 10 seconds before the ball goes there. It really is a real good skill to have. Not many players have that. And once again, he's only going to improve. He's so impressive. I can't give him any more praise than to say he's possibly the best midfielder I've seen at Arsenal in a very, very long time. In all aspects of his game. I just can't think that coming up to the weekend, I'm going to change the subject and move it on a little bit now, Fergus, to you, mate. I'm saying this to you, really, Ferg. I can't see any way we can lose this game unless we suddenly lose a mile of form overnight. Surely we're going to beat Brentford, aren't we, mate?
Well, look, we've won all seven fixtures this year, 31-3 on aggregate. Saka, I think, will be fine. So hopefully he'll be back in. Yes, we've got a change in goal, but Ramsdale is a very, very capable keeper, and we've got the best defence in the league, I think, in my view. They do have some threats in Ivan Toney, Mwembo, Mopay and Wisa, you know, but they've only kept four clean sheets. I think the key for us, sorry, I got this horrible cold. The key for us is a very early goal, Trevor. An early goal, I think then we just open them up.
Do you know what, Ferg? I'm really glad you said that, because you said exactly the same thing before the Sheffield United game, mate. And I'm going to say the same thing to you back, mate. I don't think an early goal is important. I think even if Brentford held on for half an hour, we would in the end break them down and score goals. We're that good. So, yeah, of course, an early goal is really welcome. It not only does an early goal lift the team, it lifts the crowd and it gets the stadium buzzing. And then that crowd lifts the players, vice versa, and it keeps going. And you end up with an amazing atmosphere and hopefully a big win. So, yeah, I'm with you about an early goal would be nice, but I don't think it'll hurt. If we go 20 minutes, 25 minutes and we haven't scored, it's not going to be the end of the world. We're good enough to overcome those situations by many a mile. And as you just rightly said, Fergus, we've got the best defence in the league, haven't we? You know, we've got three world-class defenders, in my view, and a young lad that's coming at left back that is improving immensely game by game. I mean, he's absolute quality. So if we don't score in the first 20, 25 minutes, who are we going to think is going to score the first goal? We're still going to think it's going to be Arsenal, because 99.99% says it will be, mate.
What's your score prediction then, Trev?
Oh, mate, I'm with Arsenal to keep banging in the goals. I really am. I think we're much too good. I think we're right at the top level. 4-0. I'm going 4-0 to the Arsenal, at least 4-0.
I've been hanging around you too long. I don't know how many we've had identical score predictions on. I've gone 4-0 as well. Although there is an element that changing the between the sticks could mean that we might concede a goal.
Stop
but
it,
I think
stop it, Sam.
The defense is so strong. We've got Jorginho, Partey, and Declan Rice all available to us. I think it's a good game for Partey to get a bit of a run out as well, and maybe see get him back up to full fitness because we've got a big game coming up on Easter Sunday. Lyle, your thoughts on this game and the score prediction, please.
Yeah, no, and just quickly, I want to go in on the Declan Rice bit. Yeah, I think there's a real problem with the media in this country in running English players' names down. Yeah. You know, some of the stuff we've seen recently about Saka, him not being world-class, the stuff we saw in the summer around Declan Rice, Graeme Souness saying doesn't score enough, doesn't do this, Roy Keane saying doesn't do this, doesn't do that. Look, 10, 15 years ago, we all knew English players technically weren't as good as the Spanish players, the Brazilian players, et cetera, et cetera. Times have changed. I look at the English players now and technically they're just as good as anyone anywhere else in the world. So I think, look, they need to start putting respect on the names of people like Saka. You know, he's in the top five in Europe in terms of goals and assists. Declan Rice is a top player. A lot of these other English lads, I won't name them, but, you know, we've got some serious talent from England now. You know, times have changed. In terms of the game on the weekend, I agree. I think I'd 3-0 written down. I think we'll win 3-0. I think if we'll probably score one or two in the first half. Then what Arteta will probably do is look to rotate the squad in advance of Porto in the week. So I can see, you know, quite a few players getting a run out. Agree 100% about the back three, back four, what Trev said. I think it's a joy to see. That's as simple as that, really. We are magnificent defensively again. You know, Gabriel reminds me so much of one of my heroes, Sol Campbell, just monster at the back, puts his head in everywhere. He beats everyone from you know, physicality perspective. He's got the power. He's got the pace. He's been immense. Saliba is a Rolls Royce, and we've really got a shout out. You know, Ben White as well. And, you know, what I really love about this side is you've got that beautiful blend, which is what all the good Arsenal sides of recent times have had, which is you've got, you know, a couple of good English players in there. You've got the experience to understand what it is. Got some, complement that with some top foreign players as well. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch. And Jakub Kiwior, for me, is undroppable for the rest of the season at left back, unless Timber can prove his fitness. He has to play at Man City, Jakub Kiwior. Otherwise, we're in trouble. So, no, look, I'm going to go 3-0 as well. Make sure Kiwior gets a run out. Get 2-0 up half-time. Rotate the squad, and then it's on to Porto.
Alex, I wouldn't be rotating at half-time if we're only 2-0 up. I think we need that three-goal buffer before we start thinking about things like that, because 2-0 is a very dangerous scoreline. What's your thoughts briefly on this game and your prediction, please, mate?
Yeah, very confident, like the other boys. They've conceded 6 goals in the last 2 games. Brentford, they're missing 4 of their key defenders in, I think it's Henry, Pinnock, me and Hickey. I don't know if Brian Mbeumo is going to be fit for the game. I think he's probably going to be on the bench. So defensively, they've looked shocking. They're missing their best defenders. We all saw how poor they were against Liverpool when they conceded 4 goals. I think we're going to score quite a few goals. And my prediction for this game is going to be a 4-0. Hopefully we can be 3-0 up by half-time so we can rotate and get ready for the Porto game.
Yeah, well, 3 of us have gone 4-0. We've all gone clean sheets. Convincing win. Brentford aren't the team that they have been off recent years. They're still a decent team, mid-table, and you know, establishing themselves well in the Premier League. Listen, guys, my voice is just about to go. It's been brilliant. Trev, I'll let you come in a second. It's been absolutely brilliant. We've got some great predictions and great results. And also, just looking at the figures on here, this is the most watched Guns and Yellow Ribbons podcast that we've ever had. A lot of it's coming in from Gunnar Hilsey's Twitter, which is absolutely fantastic. You'll find us on different platforms. We would say, if you could, switch over to our YouTube channel. It's called Guns and Yellow Ribbons. You can find it easy enough, and you've got that little logo that's in the top right-hand corner. Click the like and subscribe. If you like what we do a Monday night show, which is generally just talking about the game that we've just had. And then this is a Thursday night show that we do, which is tried to preview the week with a little bit of an Arsenal tinge on it. Trev, your idea. Well done, mate.
16-0.
Mate, do you know what? It's just to show how good a squad we've got and what a place we are in as a team. Irish Mickey brings Odegaard into the equation, right, and says he thinks he's one of the top three midfielders in the world this season. Absolutely, I can agree with that. I can see that point. But it shows how good we are, that we've been talking about our great team. We've not even mentioned Odegaard tonight, you know?
No, we haven't. We hardly mentioned Saka.
We are full of quality, Fergus. We are full of class. That, and to back up what Fergus says, there's a lot of people watching on my Twitter X feed tonight. Thank you so much for that. We do this show for one reason only. We're Arsenal fans and we love talking about our great club. You're never going to hear us like some other channels. I'm not going to name them because they can do what they want. No one's stopping them. You're never going to hear us going in too heavy. We're going to call a player out or a team out if they need calling out. But at the end of the day, you're always going to have four blokes on here that are Arsenal fans. They're on here to talk about the Arsenal and that's it. Because we love our great club. We are firm supporters of our great club. And we just want the best for them. We don't wish them on anything but the best for the Arsenal Football Club. So thank you for watching on Twitter. If you want to go and subscribe like Fergus says, go and do it for us on YouTube, please. We don't make any money out of this. Fergus puts a lot of money into it, actually. Fergus is our leader, and he brings you all this. We just tag along for the ride, yeah? So if you could subscribe, it just helps us do a bit more on YouTube. It gives us a few more avenues open to do different things. So we'd really appreciate it. Fergus, thank you, mate.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I've really enjoyed this. It's been an absolutely brilliant show. And a little bit of a, you know, boost for the ego, seeing the number of people that are watching it. Really, it really does help, you know, to see that people feel about us, you know, that they've stuck with us, and our numbers have remained constant. The only thing left to do, which we do at the end of every show, is...
Here we go.
Boys, Lyle, thank you for joining again. It's an absolute pleasure. I love your just the style that you approach things. And we meet for beers, we have football and everything else. But on here, I really do think you add a little different nuance onto how this can cross. And I really, really do enjoy it. Thank you very much. Hopefully, we can have you on more often, mate.
It's a pleasure to be here. And all I can say is, look, you guys are absolute legends. What you do is just, it's phenomenal. You know, every week we all love tuning in and, you know, you're just fans. You go home, away, Europe, you put your life, your hard-earned money, your soul into it. And
voices.
You just your voices and you just love Arsenal. And that's it. You know, you're fans.
Underneath this beard, I am blushing immensely, son.
Yeah, and, you know, look, then three of the best people that I know. And I think, you know, look, times at football clubs are changing. Let's be honest with you. You know, the way football is now is changing. But I think what you guys do, you represent our hardcore match-going fan base. Through the wind, through the snow, the sun, the rain, getting shat on with TV companies who put Monday night games, this, that, the other. Your boys are there and you know, we are hell bent. Even if it kills us, we will cheer this team on till victory to win that league title. We're going to bring it back to N5. And, you know, you boys are a driving factor of this. What you've done to revolutionise the atmosphere in the North Bank is just fantastic. Block 5-6, the new songs and all of that. And, now, all I can say is God bless you, lads. Keep doing what you're doing. You're legends. You're legends of the Arsenal. Everyone loves you. And we're going to war. We are going to bloody war. Let's win this league.
Lyle, don't forget one thing. Don't forget one thing, Lyle. You are a massive part of that. You are a massive part of that, son. Don't you dare put yourself down. You and that flag, I've seen you on all corners of Europe, mate. You're with it. You're with us, mate. You're gonna
that flag's been on telly nearly as much as Trevor.
And that says a lot.
Don't worry, boys. We're gonna win this league. And if we don't win this league, we're going to do some serious damage to everyone on the way.
Yeah. Lyle, I've just had some WhatsApp come in from some friends and they reiterated what I said. Hi, love having Lyle on the show. Can we have more, please? Alex, haven't had any messages about you. You need to rally the Danish.
No charisma.
Alex, as always, both Lyle and Alex did help me with this quite a lot of facts and stuff. This show is really hard to plan for. I thank both of you for your help. You're over for the Porto game on Tuesday. Staying at a very 5-star swanky undisclosed address. Yes, and you're bringing your sister over as well, aren't you?
I am, yeah. I don't know how good of an idea it is, but hopefully she's not going to be sleeping in Trev's leaky bed.
Easy.
Guys, listen, we've really overrun. This is meant to be 60 minutes because, you know, it's another 2 hours that I don't spend with the beautiful wife. Trevor, Alex, Lyle, thank you very much. You have been watching Guns and Yellow Ribbons. All 340 people who are looking at us right now, please jump over to our YouTube channel. Click subscribe. Even if a couple of you do, we'd really appreciate it. Up the Arsenal. Fuck the Spurs. But enjoy the football this weekend, everybody.
Come on, you Gunners.
Thanks for listening to Guns and Yellow Ribbons, an Arsenal podcast by Arsenal fans for Arsenal fans. Follow us on Facebook at Guns and Yellow Ribbons or Twitter at Guns and Ribbons. And remember to rate and review us too. Up the Arsenal.